Hello everyone, my name is Tanmay Kamath and I'm a program manager on Azure DevTest Labs and Azure Lab Services at Microsoft. I've been with Microsoft for about 3 years now, primarily focusing on improving the developer experience for Azure. First of all, I hope everyone is safe and healthy. With the COVID-19 situation evolving rapidly, I think most of us have been working from home for quite some time now. And I think with that, it's really important that we have the necessary tools, the necessary software to help us become more productive as we continue to work remotely. In my today's session, I plan on walking you through two Azure services that will help you become more productive as you continue to work from home. So with that, I think let's get started. I have a few slides to walk you through a quick intro on what the services look like. And then I'll jump right into the Azure portal where we'll see how the services work for two scenarios. And we'll come back later and talk a little bit more on other scenarios where these services are applicable. So with that, let's get started. So for this session, we will be looking at the concept of a lab in the context of different scenarios. A dev team, for instance, can have a lab where they access the tools and the latest images required to build their services or test their products. IT can create a lab to set up training for a set of new hires. An enterprise can set up a lab to conduct a hackathon. So really, a lab is a place where a group of people can collaborate to complete a specific task. The lab itself consists of all the required IT-approved tools to help you as a developer get started with your task from anywhere without having to wait for approvals. So what problems are we trying to solve? From our customer research through surveys and interviews, we learned that the process of setting up environments for developers to get started with their work was painful. Developers had to wait for days, weeks, and sometimes even months to get a workstation. Furthermore, they also had to spend a lot of time to configure their workstation with the right tools, networking processes, and whatnot. IT, on the other hand, found it difficult to control costs and set policies around the usage of these environments to ensure org-level budgets were met. With that in mind, let's talk about the first Azure service that we will cover in this session. Azure DevTest Labs is a service in Azure that you can almost think of as a win-win for the developers and IT. Developers can have access to the latest and greatest IT-approved templates to create their workstation within minutes, whereas IT can set up lab-level policies to minimize wastes and control costs. So let's take a look at the following scenario. I am a developer who wants to access the latest build of my application so that I can test some of my code changes. Now I'm in the Azure portal. As a developer, a lab is pre-created for me by either my IT admin or my team lead. Let me click on that lab. Now, as a developer who wants to test the latest bits of my application, I have two options. I can either come to the claimable virtual machine section here and simply claim a machine. So these machines are pre-created in shutdown state. With all the required software installed. So I don't even have to create a machine. With a simple click, I can start working on it. Let's say I want to customize my machine a little bit more. In that case, I would click on plus add. If you see this list here, it's quite short and curated. And what that means is my team lead or my IT admin has whitelisted only a set of templates or bases that are most relevant to my team. So if we go one by one, the first one is a gallery image. So that comes from Azure Marketplace. The next one is a custom image. So it's customized based on your needs. So in this case, if you see, this image here has my latest build. So I can simply create a machine from this one here and customize it further. Next one is a formula. So you would typically use a formula when you cannot bake all of your software inside the image itself. So for example, let's say there is a build of your application that gets generated on a nightly basis. In that case, you would create a formula out of it so that every time you spin up a VM using that formula, the latest build of your application will be installed and you can create a machine from it. The next option is a shared image gallery. So a shared image gallery is rather a new Azure service. It can be used or it enables you to store a set of custom images that are most relevant for your enterprise. Now you can simply attach this shared image gallery to your lab
so that you can consume these custom images in the context of the lab as well. This is typically helpful when you want to share images across multiple labs that are spread across regions and subscriptions. Last but not the least, an ARM template. An ARM template can be used to spin up absolutely anything in Azure. So it's typically used when your environments, either test or dev, are more complex. So let's say you have a service fabric cluster, or you have 4 virtual machines and a database and MongoDB or something like that. Then you would write an ARM template for it and put it in your source control and connect it to your lab. For now, let me pick gallery image. Here, if you see, the user settings are pre-filled for me. It's a one-time action after which I don't have to look at this section. I can either pick the size that's selected there, or I can choose to pick a different one that is whitelisted for my lab. So again, if you see, this list here is short, and I cannot go create an NV series VM that'll cost my IT admin a lot of money, right? And the next thing I can do is I can add artifacts to my machine. So think of artifacts as extensions or scripts that you run on a machine during create or after create. Artifacts can be very simple, like a 7-zip that you want to add on your machine, or they can be a little bit more complex, such as installing an Azure Pipelines agent, which has a bunch of inputs. Every lab that you create comes with a public artifact repo that we as the DevTest Lab team host. But you can definitely choose to disable it, clone it, and create your own custom private artifact repo with a list of scripts that are most relevant to you. So once you're done customizing your image, you can simply go back and hit the create button and the machine will get created. So once a resource is created in the lab, it's going to show up in the section here, be it a virtual machine or an ARM environment. Let me click on a virtual machine to show you some features. Of course, the first thing, you can start the VM and then connect to it so that you can start working on your testing scenario in this case. You can create a custom image from it. Let's say if you have customized the VM a bit further and you want to create a machine from that custom image next time around. Similarly, you can create a formula from it. This blade lets you add artifacts or scripts on your machines after the fact. Auto shutdown is interesting. You can set a schedule on your VM so that it will shut down at a specified time and not continue to run overnight when you're not really working on it. You can also set up a notification to be sent on auto shutdown so that 30 minutes prior to the shutdown, you'll be notified. And in case you're continuing to work on your VM, you can skip or choose to postpone it. That is coupled with auto start. Auto start is typically set at the lab level. So your lab owner is going to set up the schedule, but you can choose to become a part of it so that your machine will start on the lab's startup schedule and then shut down on the schedule that you specified. You can also attach additional disks to your VM and resize a VM in case your requirements changed and you would like to change the size of your VM to accommodate those requirements, of course, within the policies of this particular lab. So we saw that within a few simple clicks, you as a developer can access your test workstation within minutes. So now that we've seen the developer flow, let's take a look at the lab admin experience. So let me go back to the Azure portal. As a lab admin who wants to create a lab, I would click on plus create a resource, type in DevTest, and select DevTest Lab Service here and hit create. At this point, I need to fill in the lab name, the subscription, resource group, and location. And if I want, I can fill in some optional inputs and hit create. And at this point, we'll create a lab for you. Let me go back to the lab that we were in previously. Now, as the lab admin, which could be either the IT admin or a team lead, I need to go to configuration and policies to set this lab up. Now, in the interest of time, we are not going to take a look at each and every feature here, but look at it in sections. So the first section here focuses on a few things. One, I can communicate with my lab users through the internal support blade or the lab announcement blade. The internal support blade is more meant for links to wikis, frequently asked questions and support contacts and things like that. Whereas a lab announcement is something more temporary, and it's a way to communicate with your lab users about a particular size being enabled or a particular image being whitelisted and whatnot. The other thing I can do here is whitelist specific virtual machine sizes that I want my lab users to pick from when they are creating a machine. I can also cap the number of virtual machines each user can create and the total number of machines that can exist inside a lab to generate sort of a cap on the total number of machines that my developers can go spin up when they are in the context of this lab. So there's no way they can go spin up hundreds of machines with, let's say, an NVCD size that'll cost you a lot of money. So you're really adding a guardrail on how your developers use the services that are available to them while ensuring that they're within the policies. The next section here is schedules. So you can set an auto shutdown as well as an auto start policy to ensure that the lab virtual machines shut down when they're not being used and they're warmed up and started when a developer comes into work or starts working on it. The next section here focuses on being able to connect your lab with external resources. This is where you can bring in your custom repository that either lives in GitHub or Azure DevOps and connect your lab with a set of custom artifacts or a set of custom ARM templates that your developers can consume and create resources from. Mandatory artifacts is an interesting feature in labs where you as a lab admin can enforce certain artifacts to be applied on every virtual machine that is created in the lab. For example, in this case, the Fabrican dashboard would be installed on every single machine that is being created. Let's say there is a security patch that you want every machine to have by default, or let's say every machine needs to be domain joined so that a user can connect to their virtual machine successfully once it's created. So such artifacts would become mandatory so that a developer does not have to remember to add them when they create their machines. The next feature lets a lab admin connect their lab with a virtual network. Every customer that we've seen so far has availed of this feature. What we've observed is every enterprise has their own requirements when it comes to networking. So you have a set of your own firewall rules, express route circuits, VPN requirements, and whatnot. So you can simply bring that VNet to the lab so that all lab resources would follow your networking policies. The next section here lets you as a lab admin whitelist specific virtual machine bases as well as ARM environment bases that you would like your developers to pick and choose from as they create resources in the lab. You can whitelist marketplace images, shared image gallery images, custom images, formulas, and set of public ARM environment templates that every lab gets created with out of the box. The next section provides the lab admin with cost tracking abilities, where you can view a cost trend with estimated cost and projected costs based on the current usage in your lab. Coupled with that is cost by resource, which basically gives you a breakdown of the resources that are spun up in your lab, who owns them, and how much money are they spinning up. So with that, if there is overspend in your lab, you can actually contact the user that may be overspending and try to figure out what's going on. So that concludes our first scenario, where as a developer, you can quickly either claim or create a test environment to get up and running. As a lab admin, you can quickly go to the Azure portal, create a lab, and set it up with all the relevant images, relevant scripts from your Git repositories, any other tools and whatnot to get your team up and running quickly. Now let's talk about the next scenario. In this scenario, as a developer who's working remotely, I would like to take a training session, let's say on a latest tool that my team is using, or participate in a hackathon. That brings us to our next Azure service, Azure Lab Services. Azure Lab Services is a managed service in Azure, which is built for simple fit-for-purpose scenarios. As an enterprise or as a lab creator, you don't have to worry about managing the cloud infrastructure, as the service takes care of it for you through automatic management and scaling. It has a very simple user experience, which is outside of the Azure portal, and it's absolutely easy to set up. So with that, let's jump to the portal and take a look at the demo. You can access Azure Lab Services by navigating to labs.azure.com. When you navigate here for the very first time and scroll down, you're going to see a quick overview on how to get started. So the first step is to get an Azure subscription, after which you need to create a lab account in the Azure portal. Typically, this is done by your enterprise IT admin, and we'll see this experience at the very end of this demo. And next thing, you can create your first lab. So with that, let me sign in. So once I'm signed in, I can see the following view as a lab creator once I navigate to labs.azure.com. So first things first, I can see the list of labs that I've already created. I can create a new lab by clicking on plus new lab here. And I can also view the lab account under which I'm operating currently. So for now, we're just going to go to an already created lab to see how it works. So the first thing that shows up when you click on a lab is a dashboard. The dashboard basically gives you an overview of the settings that you've picked for that lab. Alongside that, it also gives you a cost estimate. So the cost estimate is the maximum cost for this lab based on the settings. So the number of hours you pick, the VMSQ you pick, the scheduled number of hours in your class, and things like that. So this gives you a quick overview on how much you're going to spend upfront so that you can manage budgets and keep those things in mind upfront. Next up, the template is an important concept in lab services. A template is an actual virtual machine that you can connect to by starting it here and then customize it based on the specific material that you would like each of your trainees to have. Once you're done, you can hit the publish button here. What publish essentially does is it goes and creates exact copies of this template machine for the number of users that are participating in this training session. Now, let's say you want to use this very customized template next time around when you're creating a lab for a similar training session. You would simply export it to the shared image gallery so that you don't have to start from an Azure Marketplace image next time you're creating a lab. Once the template is published, the virtual machines will be created and they will show up in the virtual machine pool. In this case, my lab capacity is 3 machines. So you can see I have 3 machines created here. In case a particular registered user claims a VM, then you would see a name for it, else they're going to show up as unassigned. Once the lab is created and published, the next step is to add users to your lab. This can be done in 2 ways. The first option is restricted access mode, where only a set of users that you have added to the lab will be able to register and access it. You can add users to the lab by either entering their email addresses or by uploading a CSV file. The other option is switching this toggle to non-restricted access mode, which means anybody with a registration link to your lab can effectively register and access your lab. This is typically helpful in scenarios where you don't know who your end attendees are going to be. Once you've added users, the next thing you can do is set some amount of time outside of the scheduled class time where your users can access the virtual machine and work with it. So once you've added users to the lab, the next step is to set a schedule for your lab. So schedule is effectively the times of the day and the days of the week when you want your training sessions to be run. Now in this example, my lab is going to run on Mondays and Thursdays between 10 a.m. and 12 p.m. What this effectively means is the lab will start up virtual machines at 10 a.m., make sure they're warm and up and running. And at 12 p.m., the machines will be shut down. This feature not only helps ensure that machines are up and running when a user connects to the training session, but also helps you control costs as machines are only going to run when they need to. Now to the settings section. Oftentimes, we've heard that once a user is done working on their virtual machine, they typically disconnect the RDP session, but they forget to shut the actual virtual machine down. This leads to 2 things. One, the user quota for that machine is exhausted. And 2, you end up paying for it while nobody is really connected on it. So at that point, it becomes a wasteful resource. So this feature here, it's currently available for Windows virtual machines only, wherein if an RDP connection is to be disconnected by the user, the lab service will shut that machine down. You can, of course, specify for how long you want the virtual machine to wait for the user to reconnect before shutting it down. So in this case, the time is set to 15 minutes. This concludes the lab setup scenario. So as a lab creator, these are the steps that you need to follow in order to set your lab up. So now that we took a look at the lab setup, let's take a look at what the end user experience looks like. So this is the user registration link for my lab. As an end user, I would click on it, which should open up a new browser and register me to my lab and then drop me into this view. If you see, in this case, I have access to three VMs, and that's because I'm a part of three different labs, namely CS101, CS205, and the new hire training. So it's important to note that this view is across multiple labs, and there is no concept of a lab to me as an end user. I see a very simple view where I get access to the end VM, and that's what I'm most interested in. As an end user, I can do a few things with my virtual machines. I can start, stop, and connect to the machine using this icon here. And I can also view the amount of hours that I have used. So in this case, all 10 hours are exhausted. In this case, I have hours remaining. If in case a particular training session is in progress, then it won't count against my quota hours, which is why it says class in progress. It's also important to mention that in this demo, you see all Windows VMs, but we support both Windows and Linux virtual machines for lab services. Now, let me connect to a VM to show you what that experience looks like. So I can either connect via RDP in browser, or I can download an RDP file. So let's click on this. Next up, I would enter my username and password and hit login. So within a simple click, my machine is ready and I can access it via browser and start working on it. All right, so before we move on to the lab account experience, let me quickly walk you through what the lab creation experience looks like. So as a lab creator, to create a new lab, I would click here. Next up, I will name my lab. So let's say we're creating this lab for a training session. Then I would pick a virtual machine image. If I click here and show you the list, it's quite curated. And that's because my lab account owner has whitelisted certain Azure Marketplace images as well as shared image gallery images that I can pick from as I create this lab. Next up, I can pick a size based on my scenario and hit next. Here, I need to fill in a default username and password. Now, the way this works is if this toggle is on, then every virtual machine gets created with the same password. And this is typically helpful in scenarios such as conference sessions where you don't really want users to waste time, you know, setting passwords. But let's say you're running more of an inherent training session with your team, then you don't want every user to know each other's password. So in that case, you would simply switch the toggle. And in that case, every user would be prompted to change their password on first logon. So it's up to you. Hit next. Here you can allot some amount of hours outside of your scheduled training class time where every user can connect to their VMs and interact with it and use it and whatnot. So in this case, I've set that to be 10 hours. And we already took a look at this feature, so I'm going to say shut down when users disconnect so that every time a user disconnects their RDP session and hasn't reconnected in the next 15 minutes, then the lab will shut the machine down. At this point, I simply need to hit finish, and in about 20 minutes, the lab is going to be created for me. So that's the lab creation experience, after which we clicked into a lab and saw what the setup looks like. So now that we've seen the lab creator as well as the end user experience, let's take a quick look at the lab account creation experience. As I mentioned previously, a lab account is typically created by an enterprise IT admin, and it's generally a one-time step. The lab account is used to set overarching policies to manage multiple labs at scale. So with that, to create a lab account, you would click on plus create a resource and type lab services to select the service and hit create. At this point, again, it's a very straightforward experience. You're going to give it a name. You're going to pick a subscription, a resource group, and location. And there are a few advanced settings that you can select if you would like to and create. Once you hit create, a lab account should be created for you. And I'm going to select an existing lab account to show you what the experience looks like. In the interest of time, we're not going to take a look at each and every feature, but let me walk you through a few. So when you click on a lab account, the first thing that you would see is this overview blade. On the overview blade, you can do a few things. You can navigate to labs.azure.com and create a lab. And we saw this experience just now. And you can add lab creators. So these are the individuals who would be running the training sessions or organizing hackathons or creating demo labs. Next up, if you would like to manage some advanced settings on your lab, you can go to lab settings. The general settings is where you can enable a lab creator to pick a lab location while creating a lab. You can also enforce every lab to have the shutdown on disconnect policy enabled by default. Let's say you want to bring your own virtual network so that your lab resources can access on-prem resources, then in that case, you can peer your virtual network. Next up, if you would like to see a list of labs that are associated with your lab account, you can click on All Labs. In this case, if you can see, I have two labs created under this lab account. And if I want, I can click on them and navigate to the actual lab. I can also see when they were created, who owns them, how many users does it have, and information on those lines. The last section here lets me whitelist specific marketplace images as well as shared image gallery images that I would like my lab creators to select when they are spinning up a lab. So with that, we have completed the scenario where you can create a lab to set up a training session using Azure Lab Services and how you can create a lab account to set overarching policies on these multiple labs. Now that we saw the two demos in the Azure portal, I wanted to quickly go over other scenarios where the services could be applicable. For Azure DevTest Labs, we looked at the testing scenario, which can be used for virtual machines or even for complex platform as a service test environments. You can use it to spin up your developer workstation in the cloud. You can use it for conducting scaled testing where you potentially spin up a large number of virtual machines to test your software and then spin them down at the end of the day. You can connect your DevTest Labs to your DevOps pipeline with a set of DevOps tasks that we provide to automate the process of creating virtual machines or environments for your scenarios. For Azure Lab Services, we mentioned it can be used for fit-for-purpose simple scenarios. So it can be used for conducting a training for your employees or for new hires. It can be used to conduct events and hackathons. It can be used to create trial or demo labs where you have your end users come test your software and give you feedback. These scenarios are again not limited. If you have a scenario in mind that you don't see here, feel free to give it a try and give us feedback on how your experience was. With that, I want to leave you with some resources that will help you get started with the services. For Azure Lab Services, you can learn more about the service on our azure.com website. We have our Getting Started documentation to help you create your first lab on labs.azure.com. If you want to learn more on other customers who are using the service today, you can look at our customer success stories. We also have a blog where we share tips and tricks and best practices, so do subscribe to it. We have a forum where you can ask questions or look at other answers to help you onboard with the service. And ultimately, if you have any feedback or feature requests for us, feel free to submit that. Similarly, for Azure DevTest Labs, you can learn more about the service on our Azure website. You can get started with our documentation to create your first lab in Azure. You can hear more about our feature updates by subscribing to our Azure Updates forum. You can go take a look at how other customers are using DevTest Labs today on our Customer Success Story blog. If you have any questions as you learn more about the service, do ask it on our TTL forum. And ultimately, as you learn more about the service, if you have any pain points, any feedback, any feature requests, then feel free to submit that. It's extremely valuable for us to keep improving our product.
All right. So I hope the session was helpful to not only get a glimpse into what the services look like, but also to figure out how they could fit in one of your day-to-day scenarios. I also have all the helpful resources for you to get started and go create that first lab today in Azure. Please go give it a try. And if you have any feedback, please do share it with us. I think it's very valuable for us to keep improving continuously. With that, signing off. Stay safe and healthy, everyone. Thank you.